Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Boxing fans, this is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Friday, 2 days after the holiday season. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah. Maybe you don't celebrate anything. Hopefully you got a little downtime. You got to spend some time with the family or friends, or like I said, just some downtime. Sometimes that's all you need to kind of recharge the batteries. But we are back with a condensed version of the show. Life gets in the way. Christmas kind of came at a weird time this year, so I had to do a show today. All right, so like I said, it'd be limited. So let's get into some of this stuff that we're going to talk about. Obviously, we'll still talk about Charlo and Harrison, even though it happened last Saturday. Very, very fun fight, competitive fight. I like the multiple styles that each fighter used, mostly effectively, or effective. I'll tell you what, I really like this fight. It's not the fight of the year, but this is a very, very good fight. So we'll talk all about that. We'll talk about the ratings. We'll talk about a variety of stuff. Also, we'll talk about a heavyweight fight that was very entertaining. Both guys hit the deck. We'll talk about an upset that on the opener that happened to Carlos Baldros. And we'll talk a little bit about that Danny Jacobs Chavez Jr. fight that ended abruptly. Whether it was a broken nose, he couldn't breathe, couldn't see because of a cut, or, you know, there was talks about a broken hand too. So we'll kind of dissect it all the way. We'll also look at this weekend, Gervonta Davis and Yuricus Gamboa, in a fight that I'm looking forward to right here, Jean Pascal. And you know what's funny? I was kind of flying through while I was scheduling this, and I just realized I put Pascal and Boutte instead of Jack. I think I was trying to put Badu or something, and it just kind of came out that way. That's hilarious. I got to fix that right now. That is hilarious. But anyway, I'm looking forward to that fight. You know, not long ago, it really looked like Pascal didn't need to take much more punishment. That second Kovalev fight, the fight with, what was it, Gonzalez? Or was it Rodriguez? I think it was Gonzalez. It was a draw, but most people thought he lost. He took a ton of punishment in that one. Sure, Bivol didn't knock him out. He went all 12 rounds, but he took a bunch of punishment there. But kudos to Pascal for turning it around. I mean, big, big win for him not long ago, and now he's got a very interesting fight with Badu Jack. We'll discuss some of the undercard fight stuff as well. And there is some stuff to talk about as far as fight news just today. Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury announced the rematch. We'll talk a little bit about that. It's basically the date in the venue we all thought it would be. Well, not all of us. Some people did think it wasn't going to happen or whatever. We'll also kind of follow up some stuff when it comes to Team Porter and Crawford. A lot of Terrence Crawford fanboys responded to me. It went down in my DMs. Some people did actually reply to me on Twitter, like straight up on the timeline. They didn't like what I had to say about Timothy Bradley And I didn't even say anything bad about Crawford. I was talking about Bradley, really. But, of course, that brought the fanboys out. Well, there's a little bit more information there coming from the Team Porter side. So I'll give you some of that. And a lot of people were mad that, well, I need to hear Sean Porter say something. And that's fair, but we'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll talk about Spence making his first interview appearance on Fox after that announcement. A lot of people have a ton to say of how he looked on camera after that accident. You could tell he had that dental work. You could kind of hear it in his voice that there was something going on in his mouth as far as an issue there. Wasn't quite, you know, you could just tell there was a little difference there, and that's probably something that's going to, well, now we know probably why he didn't do an interview before this. Maybe a month ago or 2 months ago, he wasn't able to talk correctly to where you could hear half of the stuff he was saying. Who knows? You know what I mean? I'm not saying he has a permanent speech impediment. I'm just saying that sometimes when you get, like, dental work, think about Kanye West Through the Wire, that song, and some of those interviews. You could tell his jaw was wired shut. Now, I'm not saying, you know, it was that bad and his, you know, that Spence's, you know, jaw got wired or whatever, but a lot of people had a lot of things to say. Some of it was really funny. I didn't really have a big problem with the interview whatsoever as far as the questions. There were some repeat questions, but the only thing that I thought was kind of random, I suppose, beyond the repeat questions were him saying, "We'll drive safe." It's kind of like, well, dude, I mean, my guess is he knows that he's got to drive safer than that. It was just kind of funny. It's almost like a shot. Hey, Errol, drive safe. You know, it's kind of like, I mean, if you're buddies with him, that's one thing, but that's probably the only thing I had where it kind of scratched my head. Like, did you need to throw in the drive safe after that kind of car wreck? It's kind of weird. But anyway, we're going to get into this in just a moment. If this is your first time listening to the Rope It Up Radio podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/Rope It Up Radio. It streams live and archives right here. It's basically the headquarters. However, to find the Rope It Up Radio podcast, you know, on Apple Podcasts or any other platform, it's out there pretty much everywhere, whether it's Player FM, like I mentioned, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including iHeartRadio. In fact, to find both platforms, you can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn to find the shows. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.net? It's boxing, it's football, it's basketball, it's baseball. It's everything in between. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT for the Grueling Truth. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you have and you're not quite happy, you're a sports fan, you want some sort of cable, I got something for you. I use it myself. It's called AT&T TV Now. There's a 7-day free trial. The plans start as low as $50 a month. They have the cloud DVR. There's no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere. For boxing fans, it does look like Showtime's going to step up their game at least a little bit, which isn't saying a whole lot from last year, right? But it's only $11. Showtime is on there. It's not available everywhere across the country. Obviously, one of the spots is Minneapolis, where I'm from, but you can get it in parts of California, Florida, New York, Texas, St. Louis, well, Missouri, parts of Washington, whether it's Seattle. I mean, there's a variety of places. You just got to head to the website and put your area code in. That's AT&T TV Now. It's streaming live cable. Okay, let's get to the point, shall we? I'm just going to get a little sip of water here real quick. Let's get to Charlo and Harrison. This was a really, really good fight. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Like I said, I like the way both guys had to fight in different styles, different fashions to get the job done. And now part of the style wasn't working, so they tweaked it. And you saw, obviously, Charlo was really aggressive early, but then he was boxing at times on the outside, pivoting, circling, you know, Harrison as well. There was times where this fight, not a whole lot, but some of it was fought on the inside. They were exchanging punches. Someone was at range where they're both kind of in the middle of the ring, but they were a little bit, you know, in that mid-range area. You saw Harrison pushing the fight. So I really liked the variety of style, like I mentioned. And really, rounds one and three were pretty close. I gave Charlo the first round, but it could have went either way. I think a couple of the body punches from Charlo was what did it for me. But he was clearly missing his left hook. He came out trying to throw the bomb right away, just trying to throw bombs. Mostly jabs, you know, coming down or coming out of Harrison, really. Like I said, there was an argument for both in the opening round. Round two, you know, that round actually started heating up as far as, you know, having a few exchanges. Both of them landed good punches. Harrison was landing some sneaky shots, I thought. Good shots. He had his jab and a really nice right hand, from what I remember on that. But the body and head work in an overhand right was really effective by Charlo. Obviously, as he landed that left hook, and when they're exchanging, it was like a two-punch left hook, kind of a follow-up scraping right hand. Dropped Harrison. He was like, whoa, you kind of see it on his face, like, wait a second, what just happened? He didn't look hurt. He jumped right back up. And I gave him the third round after that. You could see Charlo was landing early in combination, but I did think the way Harrison pushed the pace down the stretch, I think he stole that third round. Like I said, the first and third were pretty close. I kind of split that. I gave Charlo the fourth. Great exchanges, though. Good mix of power and skill in this fight. I even wrote it down right there like that. It definitely had that. Harrison was trying to pressure. To me, the body shots kind of were the difference there. But then Harrison went on a nice run. I gave him the fifth, sixth, and seventh. And he was being the aggressor, backing Charlo down in spots, landing the better shots. Sure, Charlo may have a little bit more busy work from time to time. In the seventh round, was a close round. Charlo was kind of on his in and out, you know, but I thought the second half, Harrison landed better in those rounds. So those three rounds, to me, all of a sudden it looked like, man, Harrison has a lead. It's probably 4-2 now. I mean, obviously you have that, I had it, what was that, after 7-4-3. And it's close to tied, right, because you have the knockdown too. I gave Charlo the eighth. I thought the way he jabbed and pivoted was just cleaner for me. But Harrison landed a few good shots. I gave Harrison the ninth. Once again, Charlo had some early work, early pressure, but midway and down the stretch, the better shots were coming from Harrison, in my opinion. Gave Harrison the 10th as well. So he got the 9th and 10th. Great start again in the 10th, but stole the round with that long jab and a few hard right hands from Harrison. Obviously, the 11th round, it got real funky, right? Both guys were landing early in that round. There was a nice left hand once again that kind of stopped and dropped Harrison. He got up. You know, he did get up. And he was looking at the ref like, I'm fine, we're good. But clearly he wasn't on 100% steady legs, but he looked okay. Then there was probably a good 4 or 5 left hands. Some left hooks, some of them were kind of 45s. I think one of them may have been an uppercut. And then a right hand as well. In those last few, probably about 2 to 3 of them, one of them was left hook that snapped Harrison's neck to the side. And then there was that one where his neck, you know, went over the rope again. It snapped back so far, and you thought, and he kind of dropped after that, and you're like, yeah, dude, it's over. And the way Jack Reese came in there, originally it did seem like the fight was over, but then he did point down like that was a knockdown. He didn't put the arms up like it's over. It's just the way he kind of came in there, it did kind of look like it was over. And I think that, you know, to Harrison's credit, he got up. He was clearly hurt. You could tell post-fight interviews, post-fight press conference, that he said Jack Reese is doing his job. He fully admitted it. So if the fighter doesn't have a problem with it, I definitely don't have a problem with it. But I saw enough in that third, what would have been the third knockdown, but the second knockdown of that 11th round, They could have stopped it right there. And I think some of the grazing shots, only a few landed good from Charlo after that when he was on the ropes. But I think Jack Reese was kind of like, you know what? He's not throwing back. I'm just going to stop it. I probably should have just stopped it. That's the way it looked like to me. So I thought it was a good stoppage. I had Harrison up 6-4 after 10. I didn't see 7-3 per se. I did. I was pretty confident now that I've seen it again with 6-4, maybe 5-4-1, maybe 7-3 if you had it, you know, after 10. I had it 6-4 for Harrison. Obviously, that score would have changed. Only one judge had it for Harrison. The other had it for Charlo. Obviously, like I said, the 11th round would have changed it if Harrison indeed did get out of that round, which we don't know if he ever would have had it not been stopped. But I didn't have a problem with the stoppage at all. Now, like I said, the scorecards, sure, you know, it didn't seem like Charlo was up in the fight to me. With only one scorecard going the other way. But, you know, it is what it is. I'll say this. I had the fight scored for Charlo the first time, and not one of them had him, even a draw. So, you know, I guess I can't make too big of a stink of these scorecards when I had him, you know, I had him winning the first one, Charlo, and he didn't get any of them. So, it is what it is. Scorecards are what they are. Some say, you know, the fix was in. Okay, well then, what? How do you explain the first one? The fix wasn't in then on that one. You know, it's just, it is what it is. You know what I mean? I'm not crazy about those cards at all. But besides the one that, you know, had it winning or whatever, and, you know, I'm not saying it wasn't some sort of, you know, whitewash or anything like that, but. You know, scorecards are what they are in this sport, right? Unfortunately. At least we got a clear winner. Some people that say that was a robbery on the stoppage. I don't know, man. Go back to that third knockdown the second knockdown of that, you know, of that fight or of that round, I should say, and tell me how he was doing. You know, they could have stopped it right there. But anyway, great performance by both of them. Harrison definitely even showed a little bit more, I thought, in this one. And I think he did pretty much by fighting in a variety of styles. I think that him being aggressive in the third round in a couple of those other rounds, fourth, fifth, sixth, or the fifth, sixth, seventh maybe, had to do with him already being down with that knockdown. I think that had something to do with it. Also, I think he knew he had to be a little bit busier in general. And so I don't know. I mean, him saying, you know, he made a mistake, he fought the wrong style. Well, part of that style was doing pretty good, though, too. So I just thought it was a really good fight. You know, in this type of fight, it's hard to say that there's a loser in this one. Obviously, would a trilogy, you know, be interesting? Yeah, a trilogy would be interesting. I don't know about going right to it. Because, you know, maybe Harrison get a fight or two under his belt before he comes back. I mean, he did have a year off of that fight. So maybe going back to back in that scenario isn't the smartest thing. He has rebuilt his career, you know, two other times. So, but if they made it, let's say they somehow couldn't make the J-Rock, I guess you could say Rosario, if he wins. I doubt that would be the case, though. I think there'd be a rematch there. Let's say, like most of us think, Julian Wynn is going to win that fight. Well, if they somehow can't make that fight, then, yeah, I'm all for a trilogy. And I'm for a trilogy in general. I wouldn't be destroying the fight if they made that next, to be honest with you, because, you know, it was a damn good fight. And Harrison fought really well to prove it. That he could have another shot. So I'm assuming, though, that they'll be on course, you know, to make those other fights or that you know, J-Rock fight, Julian Williams, sometime in the summer, it sounds like. So, did do a good rating. It did the second biggest rating of the year for Fox. It peaked at 2.2. Something interesting in the in the peak number too. So once it hit that peak number, which I'm assuming came somewhere in the second round, when I'm in Central Time, and I believe on the West Coast too, Fox at that time has a local news. They have a local news an hour early. Now, Saturday Night Live is live on the East Coast, and they had Eddie Murphy, so they did one of their biggest ratings that they did. I even DVR'd Saturday Night Live for the first time ever because of Eddie Murphy. But I'm pretty sure that, even on New York time, I'm pretty sure that they have a time slot 7 to 9. I'm talking Central, so 8 to 10. So 7 to 9 is that, even on your guide, right, your cable guide, your TV guide, whatever you want to call it, it says 7 to 9. But at 9, the local news comes on. So a lot of times you get that little bump right there. And they had that bump. And the cool thing is, it like kept that average basically the whole time, which you don't really see. Usually the peak is just right at that time. Or sometimes if there's a great lead in, you'll see the peak be really close to the start of the broadcast, like we just saw we've seen that with the Ramirez and Beterbiev fight or doubleheader on ESPN. We saw that with Crawford as well, that last fight card. So that's impressive. As far as the demo, when the main event came around, they were going against the NFL straight up. The main event on the East Coast, anyway, Saturday Night Live, they were going ahead against that, I guess, right? They were also going head up against college football on ABC. But that game, it wasn't a crazy important game, which obviously helps them. But also the game was a blowout, so by the time the main event came on, those ratings started to drop. So there was moments, like in that last 45 minutes, 50 minutes of the actual fight, they were like second-ish right there in the demo. They were doing really well in the demo. And that's the second time that Fox has done this with this spot. It didn't average as high, but then again, you had the double Charlo fight. Charlo Harrison was actually the co-feature last December, as we know. And that fight card with the main event peaked at 2.4. But it actually, this one averaged a little bit more because I think that averaged 2.1, if I remember correctly, that main event. So that kind of goes with what I'm saying. It really kept the viewing audience. So that's always good to go out with a bang. Now it's really about getting a good chunk of these fights to go over peak at 2 million. You know what I mean? That would be nice if they could get a couple more of them per year to go over 2 million. But anyway, like I said, it was a good fight. It was a fun fight. I thought it was very strategic by both of them. So that was really entertaining and all in all a good fight. Now on the undercard, we did have Carlos Baldros get beat by your, what is it? How do you say his name? Where I wrote it down someplace. Was it Yaron? I think it's Yaron. And Yaron, Baldros, I gave him the opening round, mostly jabs and a couple of nice body shots, but a competitive opening round. I gave Yaron the second. I thought he just landed the better shots. He landed a late left hook. You could see he was just trying to cut the ring, trying to cut the gap, cut the distance, try to get closer. You had Baldros, jabbing and scoring well at times. But Yaron, the head and body work, especially that left hook, he landed that left hook and knocked him down. And it was a hard, hard shot. And Baldros, he was hurt. He was very hurt, in my opinion. I wouldn't have been shocked if they stopped the fight right there. But the sixth round, it was more of the same. You did have Baldros. I just said Baldros, didn't I? How about we just go Carlos? I'll say that right. Baldros. God, I can't say his name. Anyway, he was landing some decent shots. like I said, he kept jabbing well. But the power shots and beyond pot shots, that type of thing, you know, Jerome was just doing it. I mean, that was it. And, you know, he was putting more punches together as well. And he started to kind of do that more in the fifth and sixth round. Well, overall, he was doing it. I think Baldros did it. Or Baldros. I'm just going to call him Baldros. You know, why not? Baldros? Nah, forget. We're going Baldros. He did, like I said, he landed a couple of punches or a couple of combos with repetition, and it did look like he was putting his stuff together, but it was just the harder shots, dude. And it was a left hand in exchange that knocked him down again. You know, Carlos did not beat the count, and it was a wrap. It was over. So, yeah, that was a pretty big upset. This year we've seen a ton of big upsets, right? And put that on the list as another one. Very, very good performance in general. And the prospect, you know, went to the Olympics and everything. The transition to the pros hasn't been as smooth as some others have, right? And he's got to go back to the drawing board, like I said. It'll be interesting to see how they move him, you know, past this point. It'll be really interesting to see how that is. So we'll see. Another prospect, a little bit further along, prospect in F.A. he was in a good fight, too. Ajaba and Kolaze. Dude, this was a good fight. I gave F.A. the opening round. He was landing his left hook. He was a little busier, clean right hands. But Kolaze, he landed like three or four good counters. And a lot of it was off that jab. But F.A. landed several right hands. Then it was like a jab right hand that knocked him down. But the third round was a fun two-way round. Ajagba landed another right hand, another right hand. You know, he was just landing those shots to the point where, you know, oh boy, Kolaze, he looked really hurt, dude. I mean, he's wobbly on the legs, but then all of a sudden this counter right hand came out of nowhere and dropped F.A. to the ground hard, too. I was like, oh my gosh, we might have another upset here. You know, Richard Schaefer in the front row had been like, really, dude? My guys, my prospects are just hitting the floor, man. But in the fourth round, F.A. did push forward more, started landing, you know, some really good shots. It's not like Kolaze wasn't landing any shots. He landed a nice, you know, lead right hands or some more counters. There was some really nice uppercuts and right hands. Then a jab with a straight right hand and a left hook knocked him down. Another left hook hurt him. He was in bad shape. His legs were completely gone, and it was a corner stoppage. They came up and said, nah, dude, just stop the fight. So the punch rate was 107 to 38. Both of them landed over or threw over 200. The percentages were obviously better for F.A., but, man, that was a fun fight, dude. You know, as far as like keeping the audience, that helped, you know what I mean? To have that fight in a Spence interview, you know, taking place pretty much in that second hour, that was fun, dude. And that's the type of fight that the casuals would be like, oh wow, that was good, man. I really liked that. You know what I mean? We're just going to keep it moving though, since it's a condensed show. I'm not going to get too deep into this stuff. But we'll go to Jacobs and Chavez Jr. Now, I gave Chavez the opening round. Not a whole lot landed. Chavez is just a tad busier. I think a body shot was maybe the difference. You know, you could also say Jacobs in the last part landed a good shot, and he stole the round. You know, either way, I didn't – but that was about it. Then I thought the jab and right hand and some late body work from Jacobs – got him the second round. Left hooks to the head and body were still there. for Chavez Jr. Two-way round in the third, though, I thought. You did see a few nice shots by Chavez, but I thought some quick combinations, just a tad bit busier, was Jacobs. Jacobs started landing clean shots, no doubt about it, in the fourth round. In the moments, although he had some of them, Chavez Jr., and he landed some hard shots, there weren't many of them, let's put it that way. There was combinations early and late from Jacobs. Chavez was the aggressor. He did get cut in that round, too. He landed several hard shots. Now, was there an elbow that landed? And was there some other, you know, extra punches that were dirty? Was there some stuff that landed on the inside or scraped or whatever? Sure, but it kind of went from his nose, he couldn't breathe. We also heard that he was having problems because of the cut. And then he hurt his hand, too. It was just kind of a bunch of information, some of it real, some of it misinformation that came out. And then the fight was over. And it was like, wait, what's going on? And it was just kind of like, nah, it's done. It's over. He's done. He can't continue. And it's not like they stormed over to his, you know, side, Chavez's corner, and were like, all right, we got to make sure this dude's doing okay. That cut's horrendous. He doesn't look good. You know, it was really Chavez. And hey, maybe his nose was broken. He couldn't breathe correctly. Could have happened. You know what I mean? I don't know if he ever did hurt his hand that bad, broke his hand or whatever will be hurt. Maybe that cut dipped, give him a problem. It's just hard not to see that and say, it seemed like you just were good at that point. You were like, I'm good. I'm probably going to bail out. That's what it looked like. It's easy to say that sitting on the sidelines. Of course, a fair amount of people said it looked like he was just there for the paycheck once things got a little rough. I don't know. I'm not going to sit there and act like I know exactly all that stuff. But what I do know is the fan base there in Phoenix was not happy. They came out to support their guy, and they feel that their guy failed them. And next thing you know, it was on and popping, right? I mean, there were so many things getting thrown, and, you know, it happens. It happens. We've seen it. It's not the craziest stuff we've seen, but it did get out of hand. Then he had Eddie Hearn after saying that he's going to help Chavez rebuild his career, which is quite nice of him. But I expect Eddie to say that. Why wouldn't he? I mean, if you can get, you know, a while ago, John Skipper told us that, and other people actually too, a top executive as well, said that a vast majority of their DAZN USA subscribers are from California. So signing Mikey Garcia, having Chavez back, who knows what the backlash will be after this one, of course, but it does line up. You know what I mean? You could not like it or whatever, but it does line up. You know, it does make sense to have that, especially if you can line it up, you know, after Canelo fights or whatever. So it is what it is. Doesn't surprise me. I mean, once you saw the weigh-in, He's in great shape. We're not even going to weigh in. We're going to negotiate it. It's got to be 173 to 168. Then you have Chavez Jr. after, you know, saying, where do you want the fight? We could do it at 67. We could do it at this. We could do it at that. I want the rematch and all that stuff. He's so pumped for the rematch, but it didn't look like he was pumped to, go through the storm. But, you know, like I said, I'm not one to overly judge in this scenario too much. You just see a lot of fights. You see a lot of fighters fight through things. And it did seem like on the surface he could continue. Obviously, he didn't think that. But it is what it is. You know what I mean? That's his choice. But anybody that's like, oh, my God, I can't believe it, and this and that, it's like, dude, catch up. Like, this is Chavez Jr. Did you see the Canelo fight? Like, come on, dude. At least he was in this fight and throwing punches, and you know what I mean? So it is what it is. It was a debacle, but it's a Chavez Jr. fight. So, I mean, you know, you get used to this type of thing, and that's why it wasn't something that I was sitting there going to, you know, get all pumped for. You know, once the fight started, I thought, you know, Jacobs actually kind of did look like he was fighting to Chavez level. Chavez actually did look like he was there to fight. I was actually happy with where the fight was going after a couple rounds. I was like, okay, this actually might be better than I thought. So I was happy. You know what I mean? But obviously, you know, that slowed down, right? That slowed down. But anyway, as far as this weekend goes, we will get to news. We'll get to some other night items. But as far as the news goes, well, I'm sorry, as far as the weekend goes here, I was just talking about something else. As far as this weekend goes, you know, the Showtime card, I'm really into the Jean Pascal Badu Jack fight. And, you know, the Badu Jack thing, he's definitely getting past his prime. You know, he didn't look that good in his last fight. There was moments in the Stevenson fight that he didn't really look good, although that's kind of a different style for him as well. He generally fights opponents close, though. He's had, as we know, a ton of draws, whether you think they should be legit or not. It is what it is. You know, I thought he won some of those fights pretty cleanly, but my point is they're in similar enough stages of their career that I'm okay with this fight. Now, Jean Pascal, you know, I mentioned it earlier, and I've mentioned it time to time, you know, when Pascal's fighting, but at some point you got to give him credit. I've mentioned, like I said, though, that the guy, the Kovalev second fight, probably didn't need to happen, but it is what it is. You know what I mean? I understand why it happened, but he took a lot of punishment in that fight. His next fight after that, where he got a draw, he took a ton of punishment there. He ended up, you know, upsetting a prospect. And once he did that, I knew he wasn't going to go anywhere. So sure, there's times where you're like, man, I hope that guy, like friends, Francisco Vargas, for instance, I hope that guy retires here soon, because it's getting to the point where he's taking a bunch of damage. Sure, he went 12 rounds with Bibble, like I mentioned earlier, but dude, he took a lot of punishment in the process, dude. A lot of punishment. So, I don't know. You know what I mean? It is what it is. It is what it is. The guy beat Marcus Brown, and that winging right hand, you know, it just, the freaking thing scores. And when it finds a home, my gosh, does it find a home. You know what I mean? And so kudos to Pascal. Like I said, it is getting to that point where you're starting to get a little worried for him. You know what I mean? But, hey, you can't get too worried the way he just performed, right? So that's how this stuff goes. And like I said, that's why I like this fight. I think the more steady, the more active, the busier, the more fundamentally sound guy is Badu Jack. He's going to be pushing the fight forward a little bit. A guy that works like a minute of the round, sometimes 30 or 45 seconds, is Pascal. But in those flurries, he steals a lot of rounds, and we know that right hand is still there, obviously, right? So this is a good fight. This is a really good fight. I'm really looking forward to this. I feel like it's going to be a bounce back with Badu Jack. I think he will win. I think he'll just be more, like I said, active. I think he'll be more steady. But we've seen him hurt plenty of times, you know, and he's going to get clocked with that counter overhand route, right, or a lead overhand right, just with that whipping right that just tends to find a home for Pascal. But I'm really excited about this fight. It's a good fight. It's pretty crazy because usually it's the, you know, over in Japan on the New Year's celebration for boxing, right? Sometimes it's New Year's Eve, sometimes it's New Year's Day, sometimes it's both. Usually that's who's really doing a card right around this time, but it just so happened that between Christmas and New Year's, there was an extra weekend, and they decided to go with it. As far as the main event goes, though, Gervonta Davis, you know, going against Gamboa. Gamboa clearly passed his prime. He did look like he was in great shape for the last fight. I'm not really looking at The opponent, like the opponent he was fighting was there as an old faded guy too, and he was there to be like highlighted and basically washed. And that's exactly what Gamboa did. So I'm not looking into what how he performed per se in that fight against the opponent, but he was in good shape. So if you're going to go against Gamboa, you might as well get this version because it's probably the best version left of him. You know, once he loses again, who knows if he's going to be able to come back in great shape. These last, whatever, chunk of years, it's been, what, over 5 years since he fought Crawford. Clearly not that. We already know 135 was never his best division, not like featherweight or even 130. But Gamboa is a guy who's fought on TV a fair amount. And he's a guy that does have, at these weight classes, does have some sort of name. So why not fight him? It was kind of like that, not Santa Cruz, but the Morris fight earlier. You know, there's not many names that can either sell tickets or have some name recognition at these weight classes. Let's be honest. So if Gervonta had fought Morris, yeah, 130 was not a good weight for Morris. I mean, he's not even a featherweight, really. But I get it. It's an old vet. You're trying to make a great performance. He's good. Morris gives a good fight. He gives great fights. Obviously, he's definitely there to perform. But I thought Davis would ultimately beat him, you know, and do it rather cleanly. But it'd be competitive in the process, so you beat this. If you get my point is, if you're gonna be on the West Coast for the first time as far as being a main event fighter, Mars made sense. Now that fight didn't happen, obviously, because Mars had to pull out. Pause. So Gamboa, I feel somewhat the same way. Like I said, if you're gonna have him fight vets, this was basically the get right vet year for him. If you look at it, it was supposed to be Mars on paper. And technically, it may have been Edner Cherry in the summer, but remember, Cherry had to pull out for something physical, something happened to him. I can't remember what it was, but something happened to him. And I'm not saying that was the fight for sure, but I think that Cherry would have beaten Nunez and become the mandatory. So if he fought Mares, Cherry, and then Gamboa, well, it's a bunch of vets. There are some things you can get out of them, and at least hardcores know their name or whatever. And to be honest with you, this Gamboa fight, it's cool that it's in Atlanta. A fight hadn't been there in over, what, 20 years or something like that. So that's cool. I really like that. Looks like they got a nice crowd going, and it's just really showing that he's becoming a really great ticket seller is that was about to say Gamboa. Is Tank Davis, right, Gervonta Davis, but I don't look for this fight to be just a great fight. Now, Gamboa will bring it, you know. Sometimes he's had some lackadaisical, you know, performance. You know, that performance on ESPN, not 3 years ago, something like that. There's some times where he just didn't look good. You could tell the camp didn't go good for him. Not like he got injured or anything, but like, he just didn't have a great camp. He was not in peak shape. And with Gamboa the last chunk of years, you just don't know exactly what Gamboa you're going to get in the ring. So that's why I think they said, screw it, let's take advantage of it. And, you know, the WBA special where it's the rankings were going to be right there, that we're going to probably call the fight. Okay, well, yeah, yep, interim, whatever. You know, it's the WBA. They got 8 belts per division. So it is what it is. I'm not going to sit here. You know, here's the thing about the casual stuff, though. As more casuals or straight-up fanboys, which can be the same thing, right, with Tank Davis, as his name builds, you will see more and more people say he finishes off Gamboa in a cleaner fashion than Crawford did 5 years ago. Now, you and I may not think this, that it matters. But as long as Tank Davis ultimately he's going to have to fight better opposition, obviously. But if he keeps getting more popular, that fanboy thing where they can always go back and say, hey, Gamboa gave Crawford his hardest fight, and look what he did. Look what Tank did to Gamboa. And we know that you have to put, you know, there's variables. You know, you got to put all that into the equation, and that pops out a formula for if that was a good fight or not, or a good opponent. We know that Gamboa is not the same guy he was 5 years ago. But he's in shape, and when he's in shape, to me, he does make fun fights. So I could see it being like a fun fight and then a knockout. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking for. But you can sit there and doubt me now about what I'm saying right now, but I guarantee you, I mean, there's going to be people right now doing it anyway. And you could already see that, you know, the Gervonta fanboys are already saying, protecting him, saying this is a great opponent because Gamboa gave Crawford his toughest fight. They're obviously not thinking of the 5 years, or not thinking about, they just don't care. They, you know, it is what it is. That's how it works. You just basically go to a clip and see that and say, look, he was hurt. He hurt Crawford. And we call him the best pound for pound. That's how it goes. I mean, even Tank said himself, when someone questioned him, like, hey, does this make you like top five for sure, pound for pound, because you beat Gamboa? And obviously it does not make you that, just off that, you know, but he said, yeah, it does. I'm for sure, no doubt about it, top five. That's the case. Now, you can eye test him all you want if you want, Davis, but just wait, dude. Especially if he, you know, really beats him clean. You're going to hear that. You're going to see that, and it is what it is. Like I said, I hope in 2020 it's Leo Santa Cruz or some really solid dudes here. Anyway, also Angelo Leo and Cesar Juarez fight on the undercard. I'm really looking forward to that actually, I think, is on the stream. Maybe that's the opener, but Malik Hawkins and Darwin Price on the undercard could be interesting as well. I do believe that is the stream. I'm almost positive when it comes to that. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. Those should be some good fights. But like I said, the main event, I think Gamboa, like I said, I don't know if it's going to be two rounds. I don't know if it's going to be four. I don't know if it's going to be a good fight for half the fight, and then he takes him out because he gets caught. We all know Gamboa, you know, he can definitely lay a good lick on people. He could definitely hurt people and knock people down and out. But we know he touches the canvas many a times. And so, like I said, his best weights were 126 and 130, especially 126. I think he was a very high-level guy at that weight class. If he would have just stayed down there, you know, but hey, he came up and he ultimately got a Crawford fight. So, I mean, it is what it is. But, yeah, I'm not looking too deep into it. So, yeah, that's about it as far as preview. I didn't talk about that Spence interview, did I? I don't think I did much. Some people were really hard on Brian Kenny for asking the questions about, you know, detail and all that. I didn't think it was that. I thought it was a fine interview besides a couple repeat questions. You know, he did clearly say it was, you know, May and June. Then he's like, well, wait, what? So we're coming back. What? It's almost like he wanted the exact date and the opponent. You know, I was like, Spence made it clear that he doesn't want to tune up. I'm thinking Danny Garcia is the one there. And Angel Garcia kind of in an interview that wasn't at the press conference, but it was just kind of like camera on talking to Angel. I think it was on actually, I can't remember which one it was. There's so many of them now. I can't remember if it was Setback or maybe it was on Fight Hype. I don't remember. But he said, you know, I don't know how good Spence is, but it does seem like we're going to face him next. He basically kind of said that that's going to be the next fight. He's fighting a southpaw, is Danny Garcia, too. But, you know, Spence has a slang, a country slang in there. So you got to give that to him when it comes to listen to him talk. But a slang with something going on with his mouth or gums or teeth or all that, that's going to add a little bit to it. So you could tell that he did have some stuff done there. But I think the most telling thing he said is, I was just sore. Like, my rib cage was sore. I was just sore in general. And if you've ever even been in a minor wreck where your neck gets jolted or whatever, you do kind of come out just sore. And so that's probably why he was in the, you know, hospital for a week or whatever, right, before they released him. So, and they were obviously running a bunch of tests, and they had to get those results back too. It's not like every test could come right back, you know what I mean, with it. So, so I didn't have a big problem with it. I know some people were like, what the hell? I mean, Spence joked a little bit, you know what I mean, about it. But about Brian Kenny, like, what do you work for the DA or whatever? Because there was some things he didn't want to talk about, details, you know what I mean, about the actual car accident, about the DUI and whatnot. So, you know, you could tell he had the scar, you know, above his eye. And you could just tell that he got that road rash and, you know, whatever. But it was, I think it was still smart to, in front of the second hour, average 1.6 million. So you had a nice boxing audience, that's for sure, for that interview. So you had like a heavyweight fight and a Spence interview in the beginning of the fight, just all in that hour, basically. Because the right at about 9 o'clock, and I'm talking Central Time, so 7 and 9, the main event went for about a round in 2 minutes, and the switchover was like maybe a minute left or something in that second round when that, like I said, the local news came on for Fox around the country. So the second and third hour definitely got a nice viewership, but I liked it. I didn't have a big problem with it. I liked that they kind of mixed and matched. They talked about, he talked about how he's, you know, not going to take advantage, you know, take advantage of certain things. Well, he's going to take advantage of, but he's not going to take it for granted as much. And he's, you know, he just kind of refocused them. He looks at it like, you know, a blessing from God, all that good stuff. So I still think it was smart. And especially if he wasn't able to pronounce the words, you know, a month ago or even longer ago that well, it would have looked like, oh, dude, Spence is really messed up. Or is he on medication? I mean, some people said he was drunk. Some people said he was punch drunk. So drunk and punch drunk. One person on Twitter said, it looks like his face is so bad and so messed up that if he gets punched too many times, his face will fall off. And you're like, dude, your face is going to fall off? Like, what? What are you talking about? What's going on? I don't understand that. But anyway, oh, that was a really weird reverb there. Huh. I wonder if that's going to come out on the recording. That was weird. But anyway, so that kind of wraps that up. There is a couple of news items that I'll get to. Obviously, we now know that Wilder and Fury we knew it was official, but now it's 100% official. They are putting the tickets on sale tomorrow. It's at the MGM. I don't have the ticket prices right now, but they are going on sale tomorrow. So a lot of people, not a lot, but there was a fair amount of people that were like, I don't think this fight's happening. I heard some media members speculating with that, but most of the major platforms had gotten the green light that this was happening. You know what I mean? And, of course, you're always going to have people in the fan base that will say a variety of things. So there were plenty of people that said that this thing wasn't going to happen or whatever. It's too quick of a turnaround. But it was all just needed to be finalized and planned out. And they have to know, you know, they got to do the ad campaign. There's a variety of stuff they got to figure out and negotiate the rest of the deal and the bidding for it. And, you know, there's a variety of stuff. So it is official. It's February 22nd. It's ESPN and Fox. There has been a little miscommunication with the ESPN side of things. According to Jake Donovan, you can just buy the pay-per-view like you normally could. All right. So, or like you normally would, you don't have to have ESPN Plus to buy the fight. It makes it seem that way on some of these posts that I saw. And I haven't seen the official press release yet. I haven't even checked my email. So maybe it put it on there and people posted it a certain way or whatever. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't think that you have to be an ESPN Plus subscriber to be able to, because, you know, the UFC, you have to do that, but I don't think that's the case. I do think they're going to offer a discounted price if you are, though. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's what the UFC does as well. It's more expensive if you just buy the pay-per-view without doing the ESPN Plus. But that's what Jake Donovan says. I trust him. So he said that now it's a miscommunication. You know, you're just okay. You can go through the normal stuff. You don't have to worry about that. So we'll see if that changes. Another news item, the 175 belt, you know, is obviously dropped, and it does sound like Canelo may be heading back to 160, even that, you know, the WBC. We knew the WBA belt was dropped or whatever, but – or was it WBO? Yeah, it was WBO. But it does kind of sound like he's back to 168, and we know that there's been some rumors that they want – DAZN wants an American fighter. There's also some rumors that they're trying to have either Golovkin or Canelo. Obviously, Murata would be in – you know, in that mix to go to Japan. So Japan's probably going to put up some money for a fight to get one of those guys there. It does sound like it's going to be Golovkin this summer, but I don't know that to be a fact. But I don't know. Sometimes the WBC can say stuff that already kind of lends itself to, well, that's what he's going to do. Like they've already talked. We've seen that plenty of times. So it kind of feels like he's going to go back to 160. Obviously, Callum Smith, Billy Joe Saunders, he has some legitimate fights at 168 on DAZN. Now, obviously, you know, an Andre fight would be damn good at that weight class. He's an American. If Charlo were to able, you know, were able to get that, that would be – they could do that in Texas, and it would still be Canelo getting the more fans. You know what I mean? But that could be a big fight there. So we'll keep you posted when it comes to that. But like I said, the way they talk about it, it's kind of intriguing the way they talked about it. As far as and really, I'm just talking about Suleiman. You know, he came out and said, I back Canelo dropping the 175 belt, and he wants him back at 160. He feels like he's going to come there. It could be 168, though, too. Maybe 160, those days are gone now, you know, for Canelo. That could possibly be, too. I mean, they could even get Charlo to come up to 168, potentially. You know what I mean? They may have to get, you know, they may have to get, what's his toes to come up? You know? So, and I meant Golovkin. But anyway, not a lot of news there, but sometimes these WBC press releases or statements or whatever come true because they've already been talking and planning it out. You know what I mean? Couple other items before we get out of here. It's a really random day. I didn't even text many people. Just because, you know, it was sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. I got to work tonight. So, you know, I wasn't going to text a bunch of people to call in. There might be a caller or two that want to talk. There are people on. I'm not saying you guys callers. I appreciate you on. And press one if you want to join in. Just a lot of the people that are on right now usually just kind of hang out, and I respect that. So I had a Timothy Bradley rant. Was it like back-to-back rants on him? Yeah, it was, because that Floyd Mayweather thing he said, that it's basically like 10 out of 10 almost. You know, any day of the week, you know, he beats Mayweather. Like, there's no, it was almost like there was no argument. Like, that's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. I put money on it. You know, that type of thing with Terrence Cropper, prime for prime. Last week, you know, he went off. And he said some things that were just emotional and passionate, but they were very misleading. Just a little bit of follow-up from that situation. A lot of people on boxing Twitter are starting to say, hey, let's make this fight. Are you behind this fight? I'm behind this fight. This is a good fight. Crawford-Porter. You know, it is a good fight. And as far as what's available, we know Spence is not going to fight him next. We know Thurman's not going to fight him next. He got all messed up in that Pacquiao fight. He's not even going to come back until well into 2020. We realize Danny Garcia's probably going to fight Spence, but also his promoter said he don't want Danny Garcia, that's a waste of money. So who are we going to fight? Is it going to be Ugas? And Ugas actually has plans with Best Putin to become a, you know, a trinket version of the WBA. So who's it going to be? Who's the best fight right now? Well, we know the answer to that is Sean Porter. And we know both sides, Crawford and Sean Porter, said, we're going to have a conversation. A few years back, they had a conversation when we knew Crawford at some point was going to come up to 47, right? And they had a conversation because they're really good friends, and they said, right now we have a different path. We have different names on our journey at 147. So right now, it isn't in either of our plans to fight. That's what they both said. Well, that they also said that they would need to talk. Both sides said they need to have a conversation, get that squared away, and then they can move on. But it won't be Bob Arum pushing us. It won't be Al Haymon. It'll be up to us. Okay? That's what they both said. And I quoted him saying, Sean Porter saying that in a Dan Raphael, article. So it's not like I was just like, oh, I think he said that. Somebody listened to my podcast and said, oh, let me see where he said that. I said the quotes, okay? The quotes. It wasn't, I didn't have all just that. I didn't have all just audio. I had quotes too. I had quotes from both sides. I had some audio. I had some other audio from Bob Arum. But here's audio of Sean Porter on the PBC, Inside PBC or whatever it's called, okay? This is him right now.
Recently bring up your name as someone that he would love to see face his golden goose, Terrence Crawford, at some point.
Yeah.
Did you consider Terrence a friend, first of all?
Yeah, for sure.
Would you fight a friend?
I've said this before, that if Terrence and I fight, it'll be because we decide to fight. He's got a big fight coming up this weekend. I think Bob Arum is jumping the gun. Obviously, you know, we expect Terrence to win this fight, but, you know, if he's expecting to make this fight between Terrence and I, that's not going to happen. The fight that between Terrence and I will happen is not going to be a fight. Top rank won't have anything to do with it. But
why wouldn't you want to make that fight?
It's all about the friendship. If this is the line that he and I agree that we're going to cross, and we're going to cross that line and handle the friendship after the fact.
Right, so that's what he said. That's what he said, basically the same thing he was quoted saying. I didn't say Sean Porter was out there yelling at your boy. You know what I mean? I didn't sit there and say, I mean, it takes a little while for Sean Porter to sit there and be like, I want smoke, I want all this, I want all that. I mean, Porter usually wants to fight most people, all right? But he's not necessarily the mouthpiece that goes around. Once the fight's made, I think he does a pretty good job selling it. I think he did a great job with the Spence fight. And you could see maybe it's being on television more, a variety of things, but he's been better at being more vocal when it comes to pushing fights, not just pushing four fights, but once they're signed, pushing the promotion too, whereas he used to be just Kenny Porter. But I also quoted Kenny Porter. And like I said, Terrence Crawford, and It's really funny because a lot of people say, oh, I want to hear it from Sean Porter. I want Sean Porter to say it, right? I want him to say, I want all the smoke. I don't want anybody else. I want this fight, right? The whole point is we have more information now off of this. And I have audio and quotes, okay? I have audio and quotes from Porter. And if you don't think that Ken Porter does not speak for Sean Porter when it comes to a potential opponent, you're just wrong. You're totally wrong. That is not true. Porter has a lot to Sean Porter has even said it, that my dad handles a lot of this stuff. So Ken Porter, if you're going to ask him about future fights or specific details about a fight that could possibly be made, Ken Porter in this situation is a great source. And if you're just so much a fanboy for, you know, Crawford, that you need to have him send out this big message on Twitter or something, on Instagram, a video message saying he's not going to sit there and downgrade his friend in this fight, probably until they may, you know. I don't think he's going to ever, like, totally destroy him verbally, right? But I think he's going to say, but I'm still trying to win this fight. I think I can win the fight. I'll beat him. I'm going to take his first loss, you know, all that type of stuff. But I just don't see Sean calling him out like that. Like, in general, whether they want to fight or not, you know. To do that to a friend, I don't see that. And, you know, clearly Bud and Porter are better friends than Spence and Porter. That's pretty clear. But even, you know, Spence said, I love your daddy and all, but let's fight, you know, basically. So I got a little bit more. So here the quote is from Steve Kim. Now, if you can't take a quote from Steve Kim, of all the people that don't in the media, the people, the media that have been here a long time that are on large platforms, clearly Steve Kim has an anti-PBC stance. I mean, he basically admits it, but he does. It's clear. It's clear as day. He's had it since, you know, for a while, right, since they started. But even Steve Kim approached Sean Porter and asked him a question about the Crawford fight, and Ken Porter said, I'm pretty sure I just said he approached Ken Porter, right? Not Sean. But he approached Ken Porter, who does speak for his son when it comes to business. He does help manage his career. I don't care what you say. I got to hear it for Sean. Facts are facts. They didn't just change overnight. This has been the way it's happened. We know that. Steve Kim quoted Ken Porter saying, "We have the green light from Al Haymon to negotiate this fight." And after all this fight talk about Crawford or Porter all got started from Bob Arum. That's who started it. He said, we can make that. We can make that fight. It's not going to be like the Danny Garcia thing. We can make this fight. This is the fight we want for Terrence. He's the one who said it. Okay? So he now, Ken Porter, has the green light to go ahead. Now, he also said they still got to have their little talk. That's cool. You know, Porter did say, I'm going to let him rest and have the, you know, the holidays and enjoy his victory, and then we could talk after. But this is also what Ken Porter said around the Harrison Charlo fight. Okay?
Just the whole rant that Tim went
on. Yeah, hey, Tim, that's too much. You don't have to do that much. Tim, all you got to say is Bob give Ken a call. That's it. You ain't got to do that much. He was just jumping up and down too much. I told my son, I said, I think Tim just jumped up off the clown. It looked like he came off the clown. He was so hyped up with Sean and Bud. Both have the ability to communicate with each other because they're friends. They have the ability to communicate with each other and get this thing started. But, you know, Bob is in control of a lot of things as well. He can make that phone call. And obviously, Tim got some control. So, Tim, give Bob a call and have Bob give me a call.
There you go. So, oops, I just restarted it. So, there we go. You know what I mean? Like, if you're looking for this big call-out video from Sean Porter saying, stop ducking me, son, and all that, it's not going to happen. That's not really how Porter does it too much. And it's his buddy. He's not going to sit there and disrespect him. But like I said, for those Terrence Crawford fans out there, dude, if you don't think Ken Porter counts as someone that has something to do with managing and making decisions and, you know, talking, getting offers, you know, going back and forth with Al, going, you know, relaying that to Sean. I mean, him and Al talk, they got the green light. It's true. Like, that's a fact. Unless, hey, you know, maybe it'll come out and that Ken Porter is lying. Okay, but up until right now, when it comes to this stuff, he's been a reliable source. He's been a reliable source. So, I don't know what to tell you. It did get to the point where it got personal with some people online. I did have to block one person. He did have an image of Terrence Crawford, and he was trying to put Crawford in Mayweather Ward sentences. And I just said something back to him because it came up on my timeline. And, you know, 10 tweets later, you know, it got ugly. It got, well, not ugly. It's gotten way uglier than that. But, like, once you get personal beyond, like, boxing and boxing fanhood, see, if I call someone a fanboy, you could take it personal, but if you're not a fanboy, you probably shouldn't take it that personal. And I'm also talking about your fanhood, your fandom, you know? I'm not talking about you personally as a person. And so that's why I had to block somebody earlier. If they're listening to this too, there's some more audio for you, dude. I'm sorry, and people out there. It is what it is. I'm not saying, oh, this fight should be done. You know, I'm not saying that. But I do think this is the time. You know, when Timothy Bradley says he's out there begging for these guys, I'm not seeing him beg. I'm not seeing him beg right now. And all this stuff can change. I also want this stuff to be out there so it can come to him. And Terrence can now go, okay, wait a second. I got to make this fight. You know, and sometimes it takes that to do it. You know, sometimes it takes that to do that. And I don't know. You know, it is what it is. And here's Terrence this last weekend, you know, talking about – it was at DAZN. He was there for Hooker. And, you know, this is something he was talking about in a Mannix fight when it came to this Porter fight. Actually, I clipped this wrong here.
I fought the wrong fight, but at the same time –
talking about Kabalaskis right now.
Good job, Doug. In tremendous fashion, and that's all that matters at the end of the day.
Your promoter, Bob Arum, says he wants to make a fight between you and Sean Porter. Both you and Porter have said it's going to be about us. We're going to decide if we make that fight. Have you had a chance to talk to Sean in the last week, and where does that stand?
No, not at all. You know, like I said, that's not a fight that I'm focused on right now or even worried about. You know, I'm focused on other things right now.
You're not interested in a Porter fight?
Well, you know, if we had to fight, you know, and if it made sense, then that would be a fight that we both would agree upon. But I feel like right now, you know, that's not something that we should discuss right now because it really, it's nothing on the table for me.
So he said there's nothing on the table for him. Does that mean there hasn't been, like, is he, this is where it gets a little interesting because it's like, well, you've now said that you guys, both of you guys have said that you have to have this conversation in order to let your handlers go to work. Bob is confident. Bob's always confident or not confident when he probably should be. You know, who knows? It's Bob. But to sit there and say, why even have the conversation because there's nothing on the table? Like, if it's a fight that should be done, then yeah, but – to me, it's like this is the priority fight right now, next, right now. Right now. You got to negotiate this as far as possible so you can save face on this and say, hey, we tried to make it. And it's got to be more negotiating than just sending it like they just sent it. They got to send it to Al, too. Send one to Kenny, send one to Al. Just like I said, if you want to send one to Angel so Danny sees it for sure, sweet. But send it to Al, too, the offer. So if there's nothing on the table, well, what would be on the table, Terrence? What would be on the table if you haven't had the conversation? Why do we need to talk right now when that's not even a fight that's going to be made? Well, isn't it just a matter of having that fight or having that talk to agree upon it and then tell your handlers, all right, dude, let's make this fight. We've agreed on it. But right now there's not a lot of urgency. I do think this stuff is going to – of course, you don't see the mainstream media. I'm not talking about casual mainstream media. I'm talking about the big platforms. You don't see a ton of them discussing this. I do think if it was Sean Porter or if it was Kenny Porter or if it was other people, they would have highlighted this stuff and made it a bigger deal. But it just kind of like, okay, well, you can't sit there and have, you know, and this just goes with what I was saying about Timothy Bradley. He's out there saying he's begging for these fights. I don't hear begging, but my guess is Crawford will get bothered enough by this. Because I'm not saying he reads everything online, but we've seen that other boxers, of course, but even these welterweights, Thurman stuff gets to his ears, same with Spence. Like people, these guys do get emotionally charged on some of the stuff. You could tell in some of their interviews, some of the stuff they say. Look at that Andre Ward Crawford, you know, interview. Crawford had plenty of say to his critics and all that. So, to me, I think that we will get a response at some point to see if they're going to talk about this. It's Christmas right now. It's about to be New Year's. You know, we'll see. We'll see. But I'll tell you what, if this fight just gets pushed to the side and Terrence keeps giving answers like that, then there's no reason to feel sorry for Terrence in this situation, because I don't know what you want here. You know, I don't know what you'd want then. What more do you want? Al gave Ken Porter the green light to negotiate. So if you want fights so bad, call Sean Porter and get it rolling. And, you know, at some point, I think Porter should do the same. You know, he should say, hey, yeah, I wanted to give you some time, you know, to enjoy the holidays, enjoy your win, enjoy your family. But do you want to have a conversation about us talk or us fight? Now, maybe Porter gets a fight in the spring against Manny. And that's the whole worry on the Crawford side. Remember, these PBC guys always have options. So you're not... You can't say one thing about crossing the street and then not say something when it's time to cross the street. They have somebody willing to cross the street. He's got the green light. This is up to Crawford now. Like I said, I just said Sean could, and maybe he will. Maybe we'll hear about it more. That's the cool thing about him being on the Inside Boxing, you know, that show, is they'll probably bring it up to him at some point in the next show or the show after. So I'm not saying it's just Crawford. I'm just saying, and I do think Sean should send him a text. But if you want these guys, there's no Thurman. There's no Spence. We know there's no Pacquiao. There's Danny Garcia. That fight's not happening. Your promoter don't want it because he thinks he's just going to lose money. So what fight are we talking about then? This is what is on the table, not in the form of an offer yet, but why would there be offers yet if you both said to your promoters, we got to talk this out? What other fight is there? I've seen some other people that lean Crawford. I'm not calling them fanboys, just lean that way, saying he'd win the division because he's got a bunch of skill, a variety of skill, right? He's got more game plans, whatever. But I've already heard people say, oh, they're friends. I don't want friends to fight. they're gonna hold back. Let's make the Thurman fight. That's what I want. I want the Thurman fight. Oh, so now you want the Thurman fight, even though you know it's not gonna happen. I mean, the guy, what'd he do? He messed up his rib. He had a hand injury. Didn't he break his hand or whatever? Looked like he broke his damn nose. He got beat up in that fight. He's already admitted he's not coming back against a killer. He needs a tune-up. That's what he said. So that fight's not on the table, so you're going to sit there and ask for some other fight? Like, whatever. Anyway, I'm just following up on it. That's all I did. I just followed up on it. I'm not taking sides, but if it continues to go down this way, then, you know, we're going to have to say, well, I don't know what else. I don't know what you want. I don't know what you want. I'm not sure. You can't complain about not wanting fights. If this was the fight to make, I think it'd help if Crawford makes the phone call to Sean. But I also think Porter could call him too. I'm not saying that, but they've already okayed it on their side. It's time to make this fight. Or, you know, at least it's time to have the conversation. I know it's not going to be made in a couple days, you know. But we got to hear Bud saying, we had the conversation. We're going to get this thing going. We'll see if we can come to terms or something like that. But anyway, 503, if you want to pipe in here for a couple minutes to close the show, feel free to. If you're busy and you're just kind of listening, that's cool. I had to kind of just do a random show before, before I went to work. So if you want to text me and say what's up or press, you know, one or whatever, maybe you're just hanging out. That's cool too. Just giving you that option, but I'll probably have to know here kind of soon, you know, as I get to this. Okay. I see. I'm going to let you jump in here for a handful of minutes and let you close this thing down. 503 Portland, what's going on, man? How the hell are you?
yo, what up? What up, Chris? Hey, yo, I'm doing good, man. You know, fucking holiday break. You know what I mean? I've been off, you know, off work for a while. So, you know, I gotta, you know what I mean? Just enjoying the holiday break, you know what I mean? But I'm hoping, you know, you had a good Christmas, Chris, and, you know, holiday break. So, you know, how's everything, Chris?
It's good, man. Really good. I did have a good Christmas, and I appreciate you asking. Hopefully you did as well. It was nice to just get some downtime, you know, with some family and whatnot.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. That's what it's about, man. Just fucking, you know, soaking it up. You know what I mean? It's 20, dude, bro. We're about to get into 2020, man. But not only that, but the boxing's about to be lit. But yeah, man, let's hold on. Let me just recap real quick of what happened, if that's cool. Let me talk about Charlo looked fantastic in his fight with Harris, man. I did believe he was going to win the fight. I thought it was going to be TKO or unanimous decision for my pick. I did feel like he was just more hungrier coming into that fight. Harris was just a composed fighter. I really liked that about him. I liked his fundamentals, that he kept it clean. But I just felt like his chin didn't hold up for those last, you know, for those last rounds, and that's what it was about when that dude was throwing some fucking some punches out there, man. Because that dude was, man, Charlo was looking really good, man. Charlo looked like he reached a new level in boxing. I liked the left hooks he kept throwing in the inside. He had to take some damage to throw a good left hook in the inside, and that was dope about it, you know, seeing that for that fight. But you were talking about before, I actually just got on, but, you know, you were talking about Terrence Crawford. I just wanted to comment real quick about him. You know, it's, you know, he got his win like 2 weeks ago. And, there was that fucking Timothy Bradley, you know, infamous video. You know what I mean? I don't have to talk about it, but the thing is, we all know, you know what I mean? What's funny about this whole thing is that as boxing fans, me, Chris, you know, we all know what Terrence Crawford is, and, you know, we don't have to, you know, believe what the ESPN agenda has to, you know, tell us, because that's just for the casual fans, you know what I mean? But it's funny how they just love putting this dude pound for pound. He's the best ever, da-da-da-da-da, and he's better than Floyd Mayweather. You know, he'll beat Floyd Mayweather in his prime. Like, dude, man, ESPN really loves fucking you know, shining light on their fighters, man. I mean, Lomachenko, the monster now, and they're all, you know, I believe they all say they're like pound for pound number 1, 2, and 3, you know, on one network. So, I don't know, whatever, man. We'll see what happens with Terrence Crawford in 2020. But as far as him fighting any PBC dudes, I don't see that in the horizon at any time. Maybe a fight with Shane Porter if Bob Arum really wants to make it. But as far as you know, I don't know, man. I just as far as Crawford, man, I just don't see him. I don't know, maybe fighting anybody top five just yet. But maybe he could get some you know, B-side PBC guys, like, you know, I mean, he's obviously fought like John Molina Jr., Hank Lundy, and all that shit. But you know, I don't know, whatever. We'll see. You know, we'll see what happens with Terrence Crawford and everything. You know what I mean? So. But yeah, man, and but yeah, yo, Chris, and also, are we doing the? Did you already do the recap fight of the year? But you know, all that stuff, is that today or is that
no?
That's
probably gonna be Tuesday afternoon, New Year's Day. I may do it Monday night, but I think it's gonna be Tuesday, New Year's Eve day, because I work that night and have the next day off. But that's gonna be heavy college football, so I think I'm just gonna do it either Monday night. Or Tuesday afternoon. I'm kind of seeing when my other podcasts are going to come in too, as far as the hosts and stuff like that, co-hosts, you know?
Okay, cool. Well, man, hey, you know, shoot me a text, Chris. I'm there, bro. You know what I mean, man. I'm always down to talk boxing. And, you know, in all honesty, bro, I've been kind of depressed, you know, ever since. And in all honesty, bro, since the Andy Ruiz, you know, disaster. And, you know, I want to get into, you know, I want to be more positive into this shit, man, because, man, that really winded me down, man. I mean, in all honesty, bro, that, you know, that kept me down for a while, man. But, you know, I don't know, whatever, man. But yeah, man, that's crazy. As far as that, Chris, yeah, I'm down. Let me know. Let's talk some boxing, man. And, you know, and also too, man, these college games that are coming up, man, you know, they look pretty sweet. I don't really know too much about it, but, you know, if it's, you know, the finals are always fun to watch or whatever. And, Oregon is playing soon sometime. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, man, let me know, Chris. I'll be down to do that whole recap. I'll get my shit going. I'll get my, you know, knockout of the year, fighter of the year, and Crawford is not fighter of the year, dude. Amir Khan, I'm sorry, dude. What? That's nah, no. I'm sorry, dude. I'd rather put, you know, fucking, I don't know, like the monster before him, or, you know, I don't know. Anyway, or I don't know. Terrence Crawford does not deserve fucking fighter of the year, my honest opinion. But I'll have everything ready, yo, Chris. You know, let me get out of here, man. I know this is kind of a spontaneous show, so you know, Chris, thank you for having me on. Let's talk some boxing. I can't wait for 2020, man. 2020 is gonna be lit. The Zone, they just got Mikey, Jesse, you know, Jesse Vargas, Mikey. That's gonna be fire, man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Fight.
So. yeah, and it's at welterweight. So, dude, Mikey wants to stay up there. It's, nothing but good stuff for him, man. So, but yeah, man, Chris, let me get out of here, brother. Viva Ropa Dope and Viva Mexico.
All right, man. Thanks. Appreciate it. Happy holidays to everybody. Have a safe New Year's. Well, I'll talk to you before New Year's, everybody too, including you, 503. So I appreciate all the listenership this year. I'll go into a little bit more detail. We will have that, year end, awards. And we'll also talk some decade stuff. I'm not going to go round of the decade and, you know, now, and even knockout of the decade is a little tough, but fighter of the decade, I will add that in there as well. But yeah, we're going to shut this thing down. Appreciate it. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Like I said, that Pascal, Jean Pascal and Badu Jack fight, some of these streamed undercards on Showtime will be good too. So, take a gander at that. Like I said, we'll be back shortly. We'll be back on Monday or Tuesday afternoon. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, or the bullshit, the whole bag. And when you become the world champion, you're like, you know what? I made it. I'm going to show you. Every dollar worth of what I deserve. Why? Because I'm the world champion.